Hello, everyone. 1:41. Let's start. Welcome to our room. Welcome to our workshop about understanding students from South America. I am Ricardo. I am married with Mariana, and we are from Brazil, the very south part of Brazil.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maribel Santoyo. I'm from Colombia. We are very happy to have you here in the South America presentation. And we hope that our backgrounds help you to have a better understanding about South American culture. So let's begin.
And we are part of the ICID program in IFI.
Yeah, that too. All right, so this is what we're going to be talking about today. So first we will have like general information. I'm going to go over this very quick. This is just going to be like a brief introduction about South America. Then we will have the culture, and finally the most important part, the ministry. All right, so South America has 12 countries. It has an area of over 6 million square miles, population over 436 million, that's 2022 information. The largest cities, of course, Sao Paulo, and I'm sure Ricardo and Mariana can tell you more about that. Buenos Aires in Argentina, Bogota in Colombia, Lima in Peru, and Santiago in Chile. The time zones, it kind of like vary between -2 and -5, and the language is pretty much Spanish, but we also have Portuguese, like for example in Brazil, and we have French, like in this country over here. Yep. Economy, well, we're pretty much an agriculture countries, like pretty much all South America is agriculture. We have livestock and I don't know how to pronounce this, extractivism. Right? That's what I taught you. For example, here, so I grew up in a farm. We have coffee and sugar cane. But pretty much everywhere, like if you go to South America, it's pretty much wontons and green and fruits and like it's full of many colors.
Yeah, I for example, I came from a farm. So my parents, all my family, my grandparents, they lived in a farm. So pretty much grains and livestock and sheep and other things was pretty common to my background as well.
Yep. So about education. I remember when I saw this number, I was like, wow, we're so good. 50 to 80% of schooling in South America. And then I start checking the other countries in the world. That's not good. That's not good. This number, like 50 to 80% of students, they actually study. But 20% or even more, they do not go to school. Our education system is not the best, but it has been improving in the recent years. In the US, in America, you have 4% of people from South America, of the students. They usually come here to do a graduate program. So they usually do the undergrad degree in their home countries, and then they came here to do either a master's degree or a PhD, like Mariana and Ricardo. And after that, we have an option to do like an OPT. An OPT is an extra training. And then, yeah, you know what? The students, they work really hard to arrive in the US. First, I feel like it's the language. English is not in any country in South America. And we are kind of like far away from any country that speaks English. So I feel like the first barrier that we face is the language. Of course that we have an accent too, and sometimes that can be difficult here, and I have experienced that because somehow Some people, they don't like accents. And also the culture, you know? Sometimes we are not even aware that we act different and we do things differently. Because that's something that you don't grow up saying like, ooh, I do this, or I do these specific things because that's part of my culture. You just do it. It's natural in you, right? So that's something that we work when we arrive here. We notice that we have a culture. We have a different culture. And of course...
Can you talk more about that in the next section?
Yes. Yes. So, and in this chart, you can see where more students from South America come from. Brazil, Colombia, I feel like we're representing this. And then Peru, Venezuela. Although Venezuela, this number have been decreasing a lot since, you know, like the civil war in Venezuela. And then we have Argentina. Argentina, if you see like in South America, they really have a good system. Like actually people in South America, they go to Argentina to study. Like for example, Medicina, they have a medicine. They really have a good program there. All right, so about culture. I feel like it would be unfair to say like we have a specific culture because that's not true. South America is so diverse that there is not something in the specific. Every single country, even within the same country, we eat different. We have different food, different accents, different food. The way that we dress is different too. But pretty much we have a mix between European, Spanish is from Europe, indigenous and African influences.
Yeah, one thing that's very common in South America as well is that we don't have a lot of international students going to our hometowns or where we live. So we are not used to see different cultures. So as soon as we left our hometown or where we were used to live and be with people, we see like how things are really different. And that's, as Maribel was saying, even inside our countries, if we travel like 10 hours north of where we live, it is a completely different Brazil than the one we were living before.
That's very true, Ricardo. I actually, funny story. So you like my eyes, they look like I'm from Asia, right? But I'm not. And I remember I grew up in a very, very small town in Colombia. And when I moved to the big city, to Bogota, I remember many people asking me like, oh, but do you speak Spanish? Because I don't think like you're from here. And people is so like, I don't know if it's the right word, like receptive to like people that look different. And they have like a concept of, oh, this is what a Latino looks like, and I didn't never fit in that Latino look. So people look at me like, oh, should I speak Spanish or should it be like, what language do you speak? So yeah, we don't have a lot of people from other countries.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
With coming from different backgrounds, European and African and stuff, mm-hmm. you have quite a variety of the way people look, though, in your countries? Like, do people really look all the same, or do you have quite different looks, too?
No, that's...
It's a mix.
It's a mix.
Yeah, okay.
And I feel like it's a very... It's a stereotype, you know? Like, people think, like, an Asian has a specific look, a Latino has a specific look. No. Like... We have blonde people too.
Yeah.
So, for example, in Argentina, right? Like they have a very strong European influence, and I feel like the mix there is very, very strong. You know, like they have. I just don't know how to say it, but yeah, it's just pretty diverse. There is no way that you can tell like, oh, this person is a Latino or no. It's just they look. Very different.
And yet, even though we might look different, you still have the same cultural behavior, so
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Community and societal norms. We are very family-centered. I feel like this is the more important thing in our culture. We are family-centered. We spent a lot of time with family and friends. That's imperative. That's a must that you have to.
Well, that picture on the right is maybe a third of our family. We usually have big families, and it's pretty common to be all the weekends in my grandparents' house. They are there in the middle, like 89. My grandparents 94, I believe. And it's pretty common to be together, like our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, everyone is there in the weekend. And another costume that we have is we take care of our older members, family members. So usually when my grandparents need to go to the doctor or something, there is a lot of my mom and maybe two other uncles or aunts are available to go together. And when someone is sick, we don't hire a nurse or let them in the hospital alone. We take care of them all the time. That's like our cultural obligation, take care of our older family members.
Yeah, that's true. And I remember someone from here asked me, like, why we have such a strong obligation with grandparents and parents. And I didn't know what to say, because honestly, I don't know. It's something that you just do it. I know why. But you're like, grandparents and parents, they're the boss. You cannot just say like, oh, yes. No, you say, yes, sir. There is like a specific commands, and they have like such a high respect, you know, like, and yeah, families in South America, and pretty much I would say in Latin America, they are very, very big. Well, this one, personal space, we definitely have a different concept of personal space, I have to say that. We are huggers, we hug a lot, and we do kisses. I know in Brazil, but in Colombia, we do kisses. Like even when, if I first met you, I'm going to kiss you. I remember the first time that I arrived to the US, my host family, they picked me up in the airport, and I hugged them and I kissed them. And I remember their faces. They were like, looking at me like, wow. And I was like, what happened? Like, and then I hugged the other family and they look at me like, and I was like, okay, something's going on. Maybe I don't smell good, like, what's going on? And after that, they told me, like, I'm sorry. And I actually like and appreciate the way that they say, like, we're not familiar with those traditions. Like, it was just, like, shocking, like, to see, like, how you hug me even when you don't know me. And you kiss me. Like, there's something that we don't do. Like, we keep personal space. We don't touch. We touch. Like, you know, like, we do this a lot. So, yeah.
And pretty much, sometimes some places there are no kisses, but overall yes. But a standard approach you can do with South American students is a hug. A hug is always works. So that's the tip.
Yes.
So what is your picture on the left wing there? That they are about to give a hug, or they're doing something else?
They are about to give a hug.
Okay.
Yeah. They are so open. Oh, how are they doing?
Okay. Yeah.
And do I need the microphone?
I think it's fine.
There is a last topic there. We are open, we are descriptive regarding to our lives. So we are more, you have to gain our trust, we can start to say about our personal lives. Even you are very open, we are more, okay, I don't trust you.
Yes. Time, again, we have a different concept of time. We're late pretty much for everything. And I didn't notice that before. I noticed that when I got here. to the U.S. If someone is telling you, pretty much a Latino is telling you, like, oh, I'm going to be there in 3 minutes, just sit. It's going to be an hour. So that's something that we have to change. And actually, I'm learning from this culture to be on time. But yeah, we are not. I feel like we're pretty laid back. We're relaxed about time. Like, we just take things easy. And here is just like time is money, right? So people just like move fast.
Actually, 50 minutes late is 50 minutes earlier.
Yes. If you're here on time, it's like, wow, like something happened.
So if I go to visit Latino friends and I come on time, are they going to be
scary? No. Not really. They will receive you, but maybe they still didn't finish cooking or something.
Yeah, they're not going to be ready. Then you're okay. They won't be offended.
No, they're not going to be offended. They're not going to be ready, though.
Usually they don't schedule at specific time, like, oh, come at my house in the evening. Yeah, uh-huh. Come for dinner. So it's, well, don't be like too late, like 10 p.m. That would be bad, but usually you don't schedule a time there. But here I think, yes, it's important to schedule time here, but be aware that they might be late and it's okay for them.
Yes. Now, about food and drink. Food is very important in our culture. But most important is sitting with the family. Like, whenever we sit pretty much for lunch and dinner, I will say, you have to sit with your family. It is considered disrespectful if you grab your plate and then just go and sit in front of the TV. That's a no. That's pretty disrespectful. You need to sit with the family, talk. Like, how was your day? Talk about something. But always on the table. Like, yeah, that's something that I thought it was going to be like that here too. And the first time, I noticed that everyone grabbed the plate and then just like, whoop, disappear. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should sit next to like someone else and trying to talk. But then I remembered that they think about personal space. So I just went to my room and I was like, oh, I just hope they don't think that this is disrespectful. But yeah, like for example, in South American culture, you have to sit and talk. Breakfast and lunch, they're the main meal of the day. And like here, I know dinner is huge. No, it's the opposite for us. Like, we have a huge breakfast, we have a huge lunch, and then for dinner is like something pretty light.
Unless you are visiting someone, then the dinner will be yes. A main meal as well.
Okay, something that it is very important to get along with a Latino, with someone from South America, music, dance, and we didn't put this, but soccer. We have different dances. Like, we have, I feel like music is the way that we communicate. We're always celebrating everything. When I was in college, and when I was working, people celebrate every single thing. Like, did you fail the test? We need to celebrate and dance. Do you pass the test? Let's celebrate and dance. Every single thing, they celebrate every single thing. We have different kind of dances. Like, we have tango in Argentina. We have salsa, merengue, reggaeton in Colombia. We have samba in Brazil. And we have, like, pretty famous festivals. Like, for example, there is the Rio de Janeiro Carnival in Brazil. So yeah, music is a plus. Soccer, we don't know anything about football. Maybe we fake it. No, we have no idea about football. We love soccer. So if you talk to us about Messi, Ronaldo, the Real Madrid, Chelsea, we know about that. Maybe we will just nod if someone asks us something about football. We will be like, ooh, yeah, but no, we don't know anything about football.
And even though we have this costume to have loud music and dancing, that doesn't mean that you must do this when you are receiving South American students in your house. But if they invite you for a party or something, that is something that you guys will see for sure.
Ooh, something very important about music, especially, well, South America is pretty much Catholic, right? And we celebrate, well, here too, Easter. During Easter, I remember, like, for example, in my city, music was not allowed. Nobody played music. Nobody sing. Nobody dance. So I guess, of course, it has to say, like, it depends. Like, I remember Easter. My mom used to tell me, like, if you sing, if you play, if you do something during Easter, you're a sinner. Like, you're, that's something really, really bad. And I believed that. I was like, if I play music, then that's going to be bad. And everyone was in silence because it's supposed to be like praying and praying and praying. Yeah.
So going to the third part of this workshop about ministry, we think this is important, like before knowing about how to minister or how to get close to your South American students, understand a little bit of their background. So as we can see in this map, is a map of Latin America, not only South America, but pretty much the shade of blue there means that at least 75% of the population of each country, each province there says that they are Christians. So that's a lot. It's a lot of people that say that they are Christians. And the main religion there is Catholicism. Is about 60%, then Protestant is about 20, and other non-religions is about 20% of the population as well. Basically, the non-religion beliefs that we see there are related either to the native populations that were there in South America before the Europeans, as well as some influence from African beliefs and religions. We see also a lot of Jews and Muslims in Argentina, is the largest community. And in Brazil, we have the largest community of Spiritism. So as we can see, a lot of people at least know who is God and who is Jesus at a shallow level, but yes, they know. So is a place where there is freedom to talk about this. And most of people actually will be eager to hear about God. So it's a good topic of conversation. The students' background, however, students that are coming to U.S. Is a little bit different. Most of them are from Catholic houses. As we see, most of the population is from Catholic. But the students that are coming here, usually they left their parents at very young age to study in a better school, even move to a big city and by themselves. And I say this by personal experience, as soon as we left our parents, we stopped going to church. And that happens for several years without going to church. We stop praying and we stop studying and having relationship with God. So that creates a shallow relationship or even a non-existent relationship with God. And then, as a personal experience, our faith actually is based on what our parents or grandparents are praying for us. So, my grandparent is praying for me, so I'm okay, I don't need to pray. So that's a common belief. I see this in a lot of students at my age a couple years back. So I don't need to pray, I'm okay. I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm okay with God. So God is not for me.
And, well, I pretty much relate to Ricardo's experience because in Colombia, and I know that in many countries in South America is the same. the relationship with God is very shallow, because we're, even when there is freedom, we're kind of like forced to fulfill step one, step two, go to the mass. You need to confess your sins to the priest. You need to do so many things. For Easter, you have to pray every single day, every single time, the same prayers. I remember for Easter and every single night, my family, we pray. And the prayers that they pray, they're in very old Spanish, so I have no idea the meaning of that. And I remember asking, like, what's the meaning of all the prayers? Like, I have no idea. And people get upset when they ask that kind of questions. Like, no, you don't question anything. You pray. And I didn't like that. And then I was like, okay, let's just read the Bible. The Bible is the same. Like, if you don't have someone who actually guide you, like, reading the Bible, especially these old Bibles that are written in, like, in my case, very old Spanish, you get really, really lost. Something very common, moms, they pray for the kids. So it kind of, like, gives you a sense of, like, you're covered. You're like, it's all good. My mom is praying for me. My mom is a great person. So if she's a great person, for sure God is going to listen to her. And I'm good to go. And I have noticed this pretty much in, like, our generations and the generations after that. Like, we don't want to do things that we don't understand. For Easter, for example, like in my church, you have to kiss a Christ, which is kind of like an image, and you have to go and kiss it. Why? I have no idea. I remember once I just asked, like, I just don't want to kiss something that many people have been kissing, and, you know, yeah. Now I hope they're not doing that. But even, like, many years ago, they keep doing that. I was like, it's just a piece of wood or a plastic. I don't remember. Is this God? Because if this is God, then, okay, I'll do it. But it doesn't mean anything to me. And I remember, oh, you have to kneel and kiss that thing. I didn't do it. The priest told me, shame on you. You're a shame on kissing Chris's feet, something like that. And I have to leave the church. And I didn't feel like that was fair. Like, you were never allowed to question anything. Because the traditions are so strict. We're so attached to those traditions that I feel like my mom and my grandparents, they just do it because, you know, like, that was the way that they were raised. But our generations, we start questioning things like, okay, why do you do that? What does it mean doing that? And it's pretty much in South America.
Yeah, some statistics will show that less than half of the population below 30 years old is actually active Christians. That means at least go to church or pray to God once a week. So that shows that young people are not very engaged. And actually, we lack in programs like looking for young people, to bring young people to church. Most of the churches are getting a lot of older members and a few young members join. So that's a really big concern there. And so all of these, like those things that make these young students kind of step away from God, that creates some misinterpretations from Jesus and from the Bible. So we see in a lot of young people, they trying to do this religious syncretism, that is trying to put Jesus in what they believe, and not actually, oh, Jesus from the Bible. No, Jesus is this thing that I believe. So some religions, like Spiritism there, we know some folks that go to this religion, and they say that for them, Jesus is a evolved spirit or something like that, a master of the spirits. So actually they are saying that they know Jesus, they are Christians, but actually they are taking Jesus from the truth and putting something else that they believe. And something that we see a lot as well is that people think that Jesus is only for the poor and the sick. And if you are not poor or not sick, you don't need Jesus. So that creates that thinking about I should not prosper financially or with material stuff because that goes against the will of God. That is bad, actually. So a lot of people will think this way. And some also believe that we need intermediator to have a relationship with God. So people is God is the one that is in the cross, way far from me, so I can't talk to him. I need something else in between. So that creates a lot of lack of relationship with God in the students. So they look for something else other than actually looking for God.
I would like to ask something in this part. This is a common belief in South America. Jesus is related to poverty. And wealthy people is related to the devil. So the fact that you want to have money, to have comfort, that's very strongly related to the devil. Like, but I feel like in part it's because our economy pretty much in South America is that bad that people want to believe that. Like poverty, then is Jesus, and then they're just like few people that get to get like wealthy and comfort, then it's something different. So
the challenge we bring for you all, yes.
Yes.
I would say that makes sense. Yeah, probably something related to that as well. Like our society, as politics there is not a good example. So yeah, probably that affects this as well. So the challenge we bring for you is to be an instrument of God to show that Jesus is the only way. So I think this is something that a lot of students from South America, they have to understand this because most of them don't believe that Jesus is the only way. And the truth, the Bible, I think is something, a suggestion that we bring, like bring the Bible as the truth, not what other things they might believe. And then to show that relationship with God is simple and is joyful. And for that, we bring the challenge, but we also bring some experiences that work it and we can share with you guys.
So we talked with our hosters of our Bible discussion, the SUCs. They have basically Brazilian Bible groups, Brazilian Bible discussion. And we will also bring some experiences that we have with South American students. And the secret weapon is friendship. It's the base of IFI. And the some things that we need to consider, it's getting close of the students. We must be intentional to getting close of them. And we don't need to do a big event to invite them. We just you can invite them to do daily things. And truth are these activities, they start to see your relationship with God. They start to see that you are living what you believe. And they start to think and realize that God is not that far God, is an accessible God, that the life with God is simple and joyful. And as soon as you are doing this, the trust will be building, and they start to, oh, okay, there is God here. And be an active listener and learner. This is a book that we read another version in our ICID training, and says about a part of this book says about be an active listener and learner. We can get to know the students, be an active listener, like trying to know what is important for them, how they think, how they feel loved, and respect their thoughts, know what's important for them. And in this way, they will start to realize, oh, this guy, he wants to know about me, and maybe I can trust in him or her. And we can serve as we can. In simple things you do in your day, and in this way you can show them that you care, that love them. And I have some, each picture here is a personal experience. I start to a friendship with a friend, a student here. I started to take her to go to the grocery store with me. And in another way, it was my roommate in Brazil. She was doing her bridal shower, yes. Mm-hmm. And she was crazy cooking and prepare everything. And I went there, I helped her to cook and prepare everything. So in that time, she realized, oh, she's my friend. She is taking care of me. She's supporting me here in my difficult moment. I can trust her. And here is a traditional Brazilian food, rice, beans, meat, and kale. It was a friend. We were working the field, and she was crazy. She couldn't prepare her food. So I just left a container of food in her bag. When she arrived home, she saw the food. Oh, I was desired for a food. So she felt very loved. In small things that you can love. And I can say that there is no my flesh saying, oh, serve them. I feel that's God leading me to do that. And this is a good testimony of the cake. I was preparing a cake to my husband, and God told me, do the double recipe. So I made. I dropped a cake in the house of my friend. She told me, oh, I was desiring for a cake. Thank you, you read my thoughts. But I could say to her, it was not me, it was God that said to me that to bring a cake to you. So the small testimonies that God is doing, like do manicure. I invited a friend in her birthday to go my home, and I could do her manicure. We prepare food for her. And a few days later, she told me, I felt very loved that day. It was the most special part of my birthday. It was the time that we were with you because I felt very loved. We can share food because we like food. And here is a personal testimony. When we arrived here in March 2021, when we arrived in our apartment was full of furniture and food in the fridge. And it was the Sooks and the IFI group that could set everything to us there. And we felt the love of God in this way. And I could work with a friend. I spent 4 weeks with her because she was going back to Brazil and prepare everything. She was desperated, so I could pray for her, I could help her in this way. And she started to ask me questions about God, and I could minister her in this time. So it's like hard work, but I could have a good testimony in this way. And the last one is about FedEx. A friend was going to Brazil in Christmas, and she had to grab a package in FedEx, but it's like impossible because the system and everything. So we let's go, come here, let's pray. So we prayed, and she could grab the package. So I thank you very much, thank you God. So we could show the face of God to her, and all these things we can build trusting. How can we say before we are open? but we are hard trust people. So when you conquer our trust, you have more opportunity to share the gospel and share God with them. And the last one.
Talk about this that Mariana said that it takes some time. And I would say that we are kind of pride. So if someone from a different culture, an American, asks for a student, what are you needing? We might say nothing just because we are pride. So one way, as we are doing and is working, is actually invite them to go with you. So, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you want to go with me? Oh, sure. I have some furniture that I'm not using anymore. I will donate then if you want something. Just tell me and I will give to you. So we start seeing that actually inviting them and not asking what they need is working better.
I'm a forestry engineer, so I like plants. So I the students like plants. Me and you, we are the wet. We are the resource to the seed grows. And with our testimony, showing our lives with God to them, sharing the gospel, giving advices, doing quick prayers for them, we start to let them grow. And the roots of trust start to grow. And finally, you will bear fruit. But it takes time and perseverance. So, yeah, this is us.
Every opportunity, those examples we show, it seems sometimes I'm doing something to attend their physical needs. But those a few minutes that you spend together, like going to the grocery store, like 10 minutes, is an opportunity to share something. To share about yourself, and then eventually gaining their trust, and then they will start also sharing about themselves as well. So that's work with us.
Muchas gracias. Thank
Muito
you
obrigada.
Do you have any questions? In my experience, yes. Like, for example, especially with my mom, when I told her that I was going to, actually in Colombia, I tried different churches, and she was very upset at first. But I guess it's up to you too. I guess many years ago, I didn't have the strength to say, no, I want to try this. Let me see something different. If I make a mistake, I promise I'll come back and I'll say sorry. But let me just see if there is something different about this God, because the way that you present God is unfair. And to be honest, and being very respectful, quite boring. Always doing the same. I feel like my brain is, I get like brainwashed. And I don't like that feeling of being controlled. When I started IA5 and when I started the Bible studies, I told my mom, I remember at first it was kind of like a resistance, you know, like she was like, but are you Christian now? And I was like, I'm Maribel. I don't want to be defined, but I'm a Catholic or a Christian. I'm just Maribel. I'm trying to get to know God. And I feel like I keep insisting, I didn't give up, I keep insisting. And when she noticed that, okay, I actually wanted to know and I want to know God, she supported me. So I feel like the resistance is up to you too. Like, you're going to get that resistance. And that's natural because that was the way that they were raised. And I'm not allowed, and I don't have the right to tell my mom or my family or anyone to say, like, no, but what I'm doing is right. Because I know. I'm also learning. But you need to push yourself for the things that you think are right. Kind of like following your heart and see, like, I'll see. Maybe I'll find what I'm looking for. Maybe I won't. Then I will come back to the same. And it is fine.
In our case, Ricardo got some resistance from their parents when he got baptized by. He has, like, conscience about his accepting Jesus. And, what? You are not value what we did for you when you got baptized with more faith. But now they see that he's more engaged with God than before. So it's in the beginning, you have, like, when you start to see our relation with God, our change, my family says, you changed a lot. You are not the same. You are more happy. You changed. And they see that it's something different in us. So I think they're curious about that.
Something else? Any other question?
So is your guys' goal to go back home and continue working at home?
I guess it depends. I don't know.
Good question.
Yeah.
Parents for my people. In south of Brazil, you have a lot of influence from Argentina, Uruguay. They are proud people. Like, we are a people that we
They say that it's similar to the state of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't.
Hopefully nobody's from Texas here.
My family was not. They say they are Christian. I got baptized, but I never went to the church with my family. So I remember that Jesus in the wall, in the cross, and he died in the Easter, okay? But I didn't know more about him. And these people don't know. These people don't know about life with God, that we have a close God. That if this burns me, like, I need to do something about it.
Any other question?
Yeah. I just wanted to share an experience that we had with one young man from Mexico, and Rich might be able to speak to Juan's experience better than I, but it began when this young man from Mexico went to Rich's Bible study, and as soon as the Bible study was over, he would call his family and tell them what he learned that night. So his approach was not to oppose the family, but to include them. Enclose the family. Aww. In his experience. And Rich, do you want to say more about that?
I think that's true for all international students. The quicker they share what they're learning and follow their family in the process, the more it doesn't seem so strange afterwards when they're making a decision to follow Jesus all the way.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Any other question about South America?
When can we come visit?
Oh, please. You're welcome to South America anytime.
It's summertime right now.
I have a question.
Yep.
I think in the United States, the relationship between the Catholic and Protestant Church has changed over time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking again. Just like to inform you that we have concluded our cultural workshops, and now we will be moving on to our Sharing Biblical Truth workshops. If you would like to learn how to lead a Discovery Bible study, please report to room 8 and 9. If you would like to learn how to lead an advanced Discovery Bible study focused on discipleship, please report to rooms 3 and 4. And if you'd like to learn how to meet 8 and 9, 3 and 4, and the multipurpose room. Thank you.
I won't finish my question. Oh,
yes, please. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm just wondering now, in Latin America, like, what is the, how do Protestant and Catholic churches view each other?
Like Catholic and Christians?
Yeah.
Like, depends. Yeah. I feel like we're getting to the point that we get along, but it's very slow. Again, I grew up in a very, very small town. That's not going to happen anytime soon. I'm not even going to ask my mom, like, oh, you're going to, will you think about becoming Christian? No, no way. Big cities, I feel like they're getting like more open-minded. So,
same in Brazil.
Very traditional.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you so much for your time.